Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Have you ever been in a place where your faith was challenged? Well, today's message is about reviving our faith in God. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
God's writing a special story at this church, y'all. And some of you know that last week I was at, had the opportunity and the honor to speak at Elevation Church. And I think the coolest thing about it was that I got to share it with you. Like, when they sent me video back of, like, everybody hollering and screaming and clapping and everything, I said, that's my family. Like, those are the people who believed when there was nothing there, and they're still faithful and serving. Y'all, do y'all realize we opened a third service when the pastor was out of town? Where that happened at? And 300 people showed up. Like, yo, there are some churches that don't have 300 people that come. And we were able to open up another. I'm just letting you know that God's up to something. You're not part of just the church. You're part of a move of God. And I just want to thank you as your pastor for serving and giving and showing up and telling people and sharing videos. And if that wasn't enough what God did last week, because some of y'all know the testimony, go back and watch the sermon. Then somebody made a video. It was like, David. They was like, David. See, y'all seen it. I didn't even. Like, what? If you don't know what we're talking about, just go find it. It's great. But it allowed people who didn't even know what we're doing. And this is the thing. I guess it means so much to me because we're doing our vision. We're able to represent to the lost and found. So the end goal can be transformation in Christ. Can we thank God because he's doing something? Oh, come on, y'all. He's doing something special here. And we get to be a part of it. And so I'm excited. Y'all, I'm about to preach this pink suit off today. Because as I was coming home, I felt like, I got the message out, marked. It was good. Everything's all right. All right, on to Grace Like a Flood. Because that series is going to change everybody's life. Like, I was so excited to preach that. And God said, we're not done yet. I said, what you mean we're not done yet? I don't have nothing else to preach. And on the way back from North Carolina, as I'm sitting on the plane, God started downloading to me what needed to happen on today. And see, this is what the advantage of being a spirit-led church is that you can make a plan, but my plan is always plan B. If God wants to come in and do something different, I'm like, oh, God, you freaking messed up my plan. Like, that's not what I'm doing. Like, I'm like, okay, God, you can do whatever you want to do. Because obviously you want to say something to your people. And so today I want you to sit up on your seat and I want you to take notes because I believe this is rhema word or a fresh word from God, something that you need for today. And God told me, this was the statement he said. He said, Michael, I want to revive my children's faith in me. I want to revive their faith. And I begin to look up that word revive, and it means to bring life back to. And there's a lot of people, this was the inference that I got, is that people's faith is not dead, it's just discouraged. Like, I believed before and it didn't work out, or I tried and it didn't happen. Like he said, it's not dead, but maybe you're just disappointed. And so you stop believing for God to work in that situation. And I'm 40, Lord, and I'm not married. So I guess maybe I'm supposed to be single. So I'm not going to keep believing for that. Or I don't want to look dumb anymore. So I'm not going to do that. And I came to encourage somebody who's been on life support. I'm here and I'm saying clear, boom. God is about to revive somebody's faith in the building today. Because what I've noticed, I'm already preaching if you didn't know. You might want to get your... See, this thing is not going to be something... It's so in me right now that I feel like... Because I see somebody about to take their last breath in an area. You're about to give up. You're maybe I'm not a business owner. Maybe I'm not supposed to complete school. Maybe my child won't be saved. And God's saying, before you take that last breath, I've interrupted the plan of this entire church. Media was done, graphics, stuff was printed. Stop it all, because one of my children needs to be revived. And today, what I'm encouraging you to know is that your faith is the ingredient that is going to produce what you don't even feel is possible right now. See, the Bible tells us, and I want you to look at this in Hebrews 11:6. The Bible tells us that it's impossible to please God without this one ingredient. And you know, if I was not a Bible reading person, the ingredient I would think right here would be something different. Like I would think like it's impossible to please God without purity. Like I gotta be pure and I'm gonna please God. He's like, uh-uh. Well, it's impossible to please God without knowing a lot of scripture. Nah. Well, I mean, those are all the religious churchy things that people would tell me that I have to do to please God. He said, it's impossible to please me. Can I correct it for you? Without faith. The Bible says I searched the whole world and I'm looking for this one thing. I'm not looking for perfect people. I'm not looking for people who have it all together. I'm looking for somebody who has, everybody say faith. And see, the problem is when our faith gets weak, we stop going to God for things. So when our faith gets weak, we don't look to God as provider. We look to our job as provider. Oh, come on, let's be honest. Some of us haven't had a raise in years and we don't believe it can happen. And we're just stuck in this same place. And we've looked at this situation. Well, God, I guess this is it. I'm just going to. What? God was never bound to that tool that he uses to get you finances. And that's just one tool. See, God is trying to break the limits off of what you have been thinking, saying, believing about your marriage, about your finances, about your heart situation. God's saying, I am trying to let you know that you need this one ingredient and it can change everything. Somebody shout faith.
Faith.
See, many of us aren't even excited to say it because I tried that before. I believe before, you know what I'm saying? I had faith that one time and look how it turned out. So I'm not going to do this no more. And I came to tell you, give it another chance. Because God wants to revive the dreams, the visions, the plan. Matter of fact, he wants to give you new vision. He wants you to see something different than you've ever seen before. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. Okay, Pastor Mike, I want to sincerely seek him. I'm going to give him one more chance for God to revive me. Clear, boom. Like, I'm going to let him do it. But see, this is the thing. Many times we don't understand how to get faith. And so I'm so proud of everybody who's here or who's watching online right now because you're in the place to get faith. Look what Romans 10:17 says. It gives us a formula. If you're ever low on faith, this is how you get faith. It says, so then faith comes by, That's a problem for most of us because faith is not just hearing good things. Faith comes by hearing anything. And what happens is it's so crazy that we want God to do amazing things in our life, but all we're hearing is things that are speaking to the doubt in our lives. And I'm not even talking about people. I'm talking about the music you listen to. Oh, yeah, I'm coming for you today. I'm talking about the series that you're Netflix binging. And it's like, oh my God, it's just so crazy. And they're all in sexual sin and they're all lustful after each other. And it's a doctor series and all that other stuff. And you wonder why none of your relationships work. Because your faith is built in something that's perverted. And so you get in, oh, okay. Somebody just looked at me and I was like, I hate that we came here. But all I'm trying to tell you is you're watching the news all day and looking at the state of everything. And so it makes you cynical about everybody. Somebody's actually trying to do something nice for you, but your faith is built on lies because of what you've been hearing. I'm coming for you today because God says, when I ask you to step out in faith to do that business, your faith will be built in something that cannot sustain you. It'll be built on what popular culture is saying and what the banking system told you and what your faith is built. This is what I'm saying to you. Faith and facts go together. I need you to understand. Facts is what it is. Faith is what can happen. God is not asking you to ignore facts. He's asking you to apply faith to facts. They give you a bad doctor's report. I receive that. You say that I have, I receive that you say that I have cancer, but cancer is a name. And the name of Jesus is higher than cancer. And at that name, we just sang it. Do you believe what you're saying? What a powerful name it is. At that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So I'll go through chemo for this miracle. You can see right now that we're going to have to do some life support on some people. Because your faith is built on what is said, not on who said it. What did God say about you? You're standing at the brink of divorce right now, but you stood and you said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you just going to take, it's over. Are you going to stand up and say, I'm going to have faith to believe? And see, what happens is some of us are so faithful to hearing things that don't feed our future. Like some of y'all have been faithful to the ministry of Cardi B this month. Oh, did I say it? Yep. And you can talk about living your best life, but be living your worst life. Because what's being fed into you is something that cannot hold you through the storm. But this is the beautiful thing about this Roman scripture, is that it gives you the place where you should hear and get your faith from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? All I'm supposed to do is listen to the Bible? This is my equation. You should be taking in more Bible than you're taking in anything else. No. Hear me. I'm not saying you can't ever listen. This is my jam. Okay, I got jams too. But what is my consumption? Because what goes in? So when God asks you to step out, doubt comes out. Why? It's because of what you've been putting in. When you want purity, lust comes out. Why? Because of what you've been putting in. All I'm telling you is that it's time for us to get what the word of God says in us so much that no matter what comes, no matter who says it, no matter what they think, I will be able to stand anchored to the word of God. My faith is not moved by a circumstance. My circumstance has to move because of my faith. That's why the Bible tells us if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to be moved. You can speak to a job situation that's negative and tell it to turn around. You can speak to a family that is dysfunctional and full of secrets and tell it to come to life. But if the enemy can mess with your thinking, then he can mess with your declaration, and then he can get you not to say anything that is the truth. You only rehearse the facts. And today I came to revive somebody's faith, that God wants to do something in your life that allows his power to be seen and shown, because he's going to work a miracle. Somebody shout at me, revive.
Revive.
Shout it again. Say revive.
Revive.
So if faith comes by hearing the word of God, let's go to the word of God. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 that really hit me in a new way, as God said, I want to revive my children's faith today. I want them to know that I can do a whole bunch with just a little bit of their cooperation. And there's this woman that we find in 2 Kings, and I'm just going to read verse 6, just so you can see, and I'll go back and tell her story. It says, now it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Somebody say, bring me another vessel.
Bring me another vessel.
And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased, or the oil stopped flowing. The title of today's message is Bring Me Another Vessel. Because as I begin to think about what God wanted to do in our lives, this story jumped out at me, because this whole woman is like a lot of our situation. She starts off in a discouraged situation. If you read the whole thing, her husband just died. So she just is going through loss. And you may not going through a loss of your loved one, but there's a loss of something. Loss of a business, loss of a relationship, loss of the dream you thought was going to happen. She's going through loss. So she's grieving a loss. And then what happens is she has debt, which a lot of y'all do. And a lot of us do. And so there's debt. There's financial pressure. She's going through a loss. And now she has people coming after her for her two sons. See, when you, back in this day, if you had debt and you couldn't pay it, they took your kids. And some of y'all are like, I wish they'd do that again. Take them. Junior, bye. Like, do you understand? But back in this day, that was taking away her security, protection, and her workforce. So literally her life could be in shambles because of this situation. And then she comes in contact with the man of God named Elijah. And something you got to know about Bible study is all the Old Testament scriptures point back to Jesus some way. And it's, they call it types and shadows. And what ends up happening is all the Old Testament stories have New Testament truths. And so in this story, the woman is us. And then Elijah is Jesus in the story. Okay, so you kind of get a picture. So let's paint this. You losing something, you don't have enough, life looks bad. You come in contact with Jesus. And like most of us, sometimes when I go to God, I just want him to feel sorry for me. Now, I don't know if you've ever, now I'm being hot up here, but sometimes I want, like, God, they don't listen and my money's funny and why did you send me through this horrible situation? And it's almost like you want God to be like, I'm so sorry. Did that happen to you? Oh my God, where they at? I'll get them. Like, you know what I'm saying? You want any, okay, am I the only one? Does anybody else sometimes want God to just be like, no. But what I found in the story of Elijah, as many times, this is where our faith stops because we get stuck in what happened. And this woman, she meets the man of God and she just tells him everything that happened. But I found that God really didn't want to talk much about what had happened. He wanted to talk about what was happening and what he could do. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? Some of us have to let go of what has happened. If your faith is going to be revived, what has happened has happened. And what we keep doing is we keep going back to replay and rewind and go back. What they hurt me and I was molested and I was abused and I didn't get into the college and I didn't. And God says, I know I was there and now I'm here. Yeah. And what I want you to do is I want you to give that away. I'm sorry that it happened. I have a plan of how I'm going to redeem all of that. But we are paralyzed here until you let it go. And so what ends up happening is this woman, she comes to Elijah with all of her issues, and then Elijah asked her two questions that flipped me out. He didn't ask her, how are you feeling? Because honestly, feelings don't matter when you really need a faith miracle. Many times we're referencing our feelings. Well, I don't feel like the God said, your feelings are not the barometer by which I'm about to do this miracle. It's gonna be my faith. Somebody say my faith. A lot of us have a lot of feelings, but we don't have a lot of faith. And God wants to enact your faith. And so she comes to this man of God and she tells him all the problems. And look what Elijah says in verse 2. He says, what can I do for you? Like, what can I do for you? Now, this question is almost rhetorical and almost a little insulting after I just told you everything that's going on. My husband dead. My kids are about to be taken. I don't have nothing. My husband served you. What you think I want you to do for me? I want you to give me some money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see the situation, but this is not a question of even referencing what she just said. It's a question that God will ask all of us when we want our faith to be revived and God wants to move us forward. He's going to ask you two questions. The first question is, what do you want? And that's a question of vision. And most people can't answer this question. See, we've been so discouraged that we won't even dream again. We won't get vision again. And so when God comes to you and say, what do you want? You don't even have an answer for it. What is that thing that God has placed in you that you see when your eyes are closed? That thing, that person, that vision that God has given you that you see when your eyes are closed. And I'm talking to some of you because some of you are thinking like, yeah, I forgot about that, or I've put that on the back burner. And today God wants to revive the vision, because the first thing God is asking you is, what do you want? Right now, if God sent somebody into your life to pay off all your debt, you wouldn't know the exact cent that you would need. You'd be like, I mean, something like 25,000, 64,000. No. What you need to do is get the vision of your stuff being paid off. You need to say, I need $62,368.92. Why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because I got a vision of what God can do in my life. See, many of us just want the next thing to happen. Like, God, if you could just do better. And God says, I'm looking for somebody to get a vision of what they want. What do you want? I want to be married. I want to be successful. I want to stand in this place. I want to go and do overseas missions. I want to work in full-time ministry. You have given all of that up. Why? Because you haven't written it down. It's in your head and it's not on tablet, but the word tells us in Habakkuk 2:2, if it's a real vision, you write the vision down and you make it plain so that people can read it on the run. What does that mean? There are people coming to run with me. Y'all don't even believe it. There are people coming to run with me. There are people coming to fund what God is going to do. There are people that are going to say, what do you need? But if the vision is not written down and if it's not made plain, God never gives provision where there is no vision. You sitting there broke, it's because you ain't got nothing to fund. You're sitting there in this, and I want you to see that God in his grace and mercy is so good because this woman didn't have an answer. How do you know? Because Elijah just went to the next question. Look at it. He says, what do you want? And she probably was like, most of us would have been, and he said, never mind. And then he asked her the next question. What do you have? See, God's going to ask you, what do you want first? And then he's going to ask you, what do you have? The thing that I have to bring up is that God never asks you, what do you have first? Because it's not a matter of resource to get God to do anything. And most of us are getting vision after we look at our resource. What we do is we say, what do we have? Okay, so since I only have this, then this is all I can do. God always asks you for vision first. He always asks you for what you see when your eyes are closed, to see beyond your bank account, to see beyond Tulsa, to see beyond North America. No, I'm trying to tell you, some of y'all are so stuck right here. And God says that my plan for you is worldwide. But you're looking at your resources. You're looking at the fact that nobody in your family has ever traveled out of Oklahoma or Texas. Oh, that's real for people. Somebody said, that's me. I hear what I'm saying to you. What God is saying, he never asked you for resource before he asked you for vision. So stop putting a limit on your vision because of what resource you have right now. So what did he say? He said, okay, what do you want? I don't even know. Okay, what do you have? And that's the question of inventory. Like take an inventory of what do you have? What gifts do you have? What skills do you have? What things that other people count out? What are those things that God's put in your hand? And this woman almost missed her opportunity for her miracle because she does like a lot of us. She discounts what we have. Look what she says. He says, tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing. I just told you. My husband's dead. These life circumstances, I have nothing. Well, except a small jar of oil. Like, I got nothing but. And God stopped me right there. And he said, Michael, what you're counting out is what I'm counting on. I want your nothing but. See, because a lot of us are sitting here and God's saying, don't forget your nothing but. Like, don't forget that thing that everybody else has counted out. But it's the little thing that you have that I can use. And see, I see some of us right now, like, I really don't even have any great features about me. I can't do anything. Like, I really don't have nothing but this ability to organize. And I don't even know what God would do with that. I don't have anything but the ability to clean. Or I don't have anything but this little singing gift. And God's saying, that's all I need. All I need is all you have. That's all I need. See, I could have said the same thing about me. Because when God called me to pastor this church and to run this business, to be the CEO of a million plus dollar company, I had never been to business school. I have never been in boardrooms and board meetings or anything like that. So when God called me to do this, we had this conversation. I said, God, I can't do this because I have nothing but the ability to tell stories. And God said, all you have is all I need. I came to encourage somebody right now who's looking at your nothing but, and you're saying, God, this is not enough. And God says, what you're counting out, I'm counting on. What your family told you was nothing is the thing that's going to bring the breakthrough for your whole household. That thing that everybody has said was funny and not really that good, God says, that's what I'm going to use. The Bible tells us he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Your nothing but is going to create a miracle with your nothing but. Like, I'm trying to tell you, because somebody came in here discouraged. That all I have is nothing but the ability to do hair. And God says, I can use that if you'll give it to me. And when this person started to understand this small concept that God told me, he said, little is much in the master's hands. Like what you realize, my storytelling ability that I said was nothing, but God said, when you give it to me, I can make it into something that you can reach the entire world with. Like, do y'all understand what I'm saying right now? When I go to sleep at 2 a.m., I'm preaching somewhere around the world through the miracle of technology. Because God took my nothing but, and I gave it back to him. And so this is the key. When you identify what you have in your house. See, some of y'all, you need to go back and things that you have buried, stuff that you have stopped working on. You got so consumed with a career that you stopped working on your gift. And now your gift is rusty. And God is saying, pull that gift back up. It's time to sharpen. It's time to work on it. It's time to do something different than you've done, because you will live your life for a paycheck instead of living your life in purpose. And when God says, I came that you might have life and life to the full, he didn't mean for you to just exist, but he's looking for faith. And so I'm coming to revive somebody's faith today, because it's going to take you having to listen to the word of God and be able to get out and say, what do I want? Write the vision, make it plain, and then take an inventory of what is in your house. And then God, because this is the thing, y'all think that this is new for you, but God's been doing a lot with a little for a long time. Do y'all remember the story of the fish and two loaves? Where they were like, how are we going to feed all this people? And one of the disciples came up and said, we have nothing but a Long John Silver snack pack. That is not gonna feed 25,000 people. And God says, give it to me. And he blessed their nothing but, and broke their nothing but, and provided for their nothing buts. And they ate plenty because they turned and gave what was little to the master. I'm asking you to have the faith today to give what you almost counted out. I want you to give it to God. Somebody say, revive.
Revive.
So look, she takes her little bit of oil and then she listens to what the man of God says. And look at verse 3. He says, go, which I have to stop here because that means faith is an action word. So like, if I'm just sitting here waiting for God to do something, he's sitting there waiting for me to do something. Like, God, you just told me to wait on you. You can at least pray consistently every day for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. You can be faithful. There is an action that has to go with your faith. And a lot of us are sitting and waiting for God to do something, but he's waiting for you to enact the miracle on your behalf. If you read through the scriptures, a lot of times when it says, according to your faith, be it unto you, according to your faith, what it's saying is whatever you got the faith to believe. The woman who was healed with the issue of blood, the only reason she was healed is because she had the faith that when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, that she was going to be healed. Somebody could have seen that same miracle and tried to do it, but not have the faith. See, this is the thing. You can replicate what somebody does, but if you don't have the faith that they had, the miracle still won't happen. And so what you see is a lot of people doing things that people did, but they don't have the faith to believe that God can do it. And so you got to go. And look what he told her to do. He said, I want you to go, verse 3, I want you to borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. Point number 2, you need to borrow some vessels. And this is the fun point for me because it freed me. Because for some reason, I don't know where I got this from, but I felt like if God was going to do something special in my life, it had to be exclusive. Like nobody else could have experienced this or gone through it before. But the beautiful thing about this is a lot of us don't know where to start when it comes to doing what God has called us to do. A lot of us don't have the things that we need to see the miracles. And what this man of God said is you can go out and you can borrow vessels to be able to do and get ready for the miracle that I'm about to do. What does this practically mean? You don't have some of the education that you need for the miracle that God is going to do. So you can go borrow a vessel, borrow an idea, borrow a thought process, borrow somebody else's way that they did it. You do not have to originate what God is going to have to do. You got to try it on and see if it fits. And if it doesn't fit, you can try something else on and see if it fits. And if it doesn't fit, you can try something. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? You can have a borrowed vessel, but you got to use your own oil. See, a lot of people are out here and they're like, well, I just don't know what to do. If you saw a business plan that worked and you feel like this is what God is calling you to do and you go have a meeting with those people and you get some ideas, come back home, pray over that thing and ask God, God, I borrowed this vessel of how to do this. God, I thank you that as I pour my own oil into this, you're going to create a miracle in my life. Some of us are so stuck up and prideful that we won't ask anybody for help. We won't borrow no vessels. And God began to talk to me. He said, Michael, for what I'm about to do in your life, I gave 3 qualifications. I need you to borrow different vessels, different than you have in your home. The thing that the Bible doesn't say, but you have to assume, is that she already had some vessels in her house. Like she probably had some things already in her house, but the strict instruction was you need to go borrow vessels from everywhere. Borrow some stuff that you don't have, different size vessels, different shaped vessels, things that didn't originate in your home, things that you didn't already get. Go borrow some vessels. Borrow them from your neighbors. Borrow from people that you don't know. Borrow ideas and thoughts and different things for people. And I want you to bring them into your house and pour your oil into them. And what are you saying to me, Pastor Mike? This week, God challenged me. He said, Michael, I'm about to do something in your finances. Start preparing your vessels. I said, what that mean? He said, I need you to go borrow some thoughts from people that don't think like you. So I said, who do I know that's rich? No, see, y'all missed it. I wasn't raised in affluence. I wasn't raised. I have poverty mindsets that are still on some of the things that I do. And you so prideful that, no, I have it all. You broke. And God is trying to deliver you from mindsets and generational habits, but you won't borrow no vessels. And so I went. I had the number of a bank president in my phone. So I just texted him out of blue. I ain't talked to him in months. I was like, hey, this is random. Would you have 15 minutes to spend with me? I just want to ask you some questions. And I walked into this man's office. He said, what do you need? I said, I need wisdom. I need to borrow some vessels. I need to borrow some thought processes so I can set myself up for what God's about to do. And he looked at me. He said, you just want to ask me questions? You don't need any money? I said, no, I don't need your money. God's got that. I need how you're thinking. This is what I said to him. I said, if I was your son, what would you advise me to do with what I'm standing here? And y'all, I went and borrowed some vessels. This man, we were supposed to have a 15-minute meeting. Can I give some instruction to young people? Don't ask people to be your mentors. Go in with good questions. That 15-minute meeting turned into an hour and a half. That this man canceled other things to continue to give me vessels to set up. When you think about real estate, think about this. When you think about, I just sat there and I'm just taking notes. I'm like, oh my God, look at all these vessels. And God said, Michael, now you take those vessels and set them out before me. He said, but he can't pour his oil into these vessels. You're going to have to pour your oil. And So what I'm telling you is, it's time for you to borrow some different vessels. It's time for you to read some stuff that you ain't read before and get God to give you some different trains of thought. Your whole family angry. You need to read a book on peace. Y'all mad. Y'all all mad. Y'all all angry. Everybody. It's her. No, it's y'all. It's everybody in your family. Maybe you need to, you're so busy. Maybe you need to read something. You need to get another thought process. And when you borrow these vessels, when you borrow these things, then God says, I'm not limited to your current situation because I want you to do something different. I'm not limited. And this is the funny thing. The type of vessel that you have to borrow is it says you need an empty one. And the funny thing about this is so many times we have things and ideas and dreams that we've put hurt and unforgiveness and fear of failure and all that. And God says, I need you to turn those vessels over and empty them out. Because this new thing I'm about to do is not relegated to the past and what has happened. I need empty vessels. Well, I joined a church before and they took advantage of me. And so that's why I come here and I sit on the back room and I don't want to do anything. Empty your vessel. Because you'll never get to see the miracle that God wants to do in your life if you're still holding something in it. And then it said, borrow a lot of vessels. Like, I want y'all to read this. It said, don't borrow a few. And so many of us are just believing that God would make our job better and our marriage happy. And God says, is that all you want? Is that it? Because whatever you have the faith to prepare for is what I'm about to fill up. Whatever you have the faith, that's why I'm trying to revive your faith. Whatever you have the faith to set out and say, God, there is nothing here and I got nothing but this. But God says, if you would believe me and set it out in faith, I'm the only one that can take your nothing but your little bit of oil. And when you start pouring it, turn it into a miracle. God is about to revive you and your family. He's going to revive your dreams. I don't care if you caught a case. God says your latter days will be greater than your former. See, this is the problem. God blesses what you prepare for. So when you have an expectation without preparation, you get frustration. See, a lot of us want God to do something, but we won't prepare for it. So we get frustrated. And all I'm asking you to do is go open the bank account. Ain't got no money in it right now, but go open it. Prepare for God to fill it. Pastor Mike, that sounds dumb. God's not trying to make sense. He's trying to make a miracle. But it's going to take. Do you think that Noah, it made sense for every day for him to get out there and build an ark for 50 plus years? Don't you think that people were laughing at him and they was laughing all the way till they started drowning? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It may look stupid until it works. That's why you don't need everybody co-signing what you're doing in this season. That's why you don't need committee approval. That's why you need to obey God, stay in his face, get faith, and do what he tells you to do. So this woman had enough faith. Look at verse 4. It says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Point number 3, shut the door and pour. See, what I'm telling you right now is God is trying to do something in you that is going to be a miracle. And every time that you look at what you have and what God is asking you to do, it's not going to make sense. But he said, pour it out. See, that was the thing that she had to have the faith to do, is pour it out. God said, I gave you that idea to do something with paper and little rubber bands, and I want you to put it on Etsy, and I want you to sell it for $5. And your family's going to be like, that's stupid. Don't do that. Don't ask them. Shut the door and pour. This is not about everybody. God told you to go back to school, and you don't have the financial aid and all this other stuff, and then you want to go ask your friends, do you really think that I should go back to school? It's just been so long. Shut the door and pour. Because everybody's not going to have the faith for the miracle God's going to do in your life. You cannot broadcast and do this thing in the public square. You cannot be in front of everybody because they will poke holes in your faith and tell you why it can't happen and why it won't happen and what you can't. Do you know when I told people we were going to have a multi-ethnic church in North Tulsa, they told me it could not happen? But back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all love me. Do you understand what I'm saying? People are calling to figure out how do you have white people and black people and old people and young people. It's stupid until it works. Like, but listen, if I would have called all my pastor friends together who have not been able to do this to ask them, is this a good idea? This would have never happened. Shut the door and pour. I came to encourage somebody who's God's giving a brand new fresh idea to. He's going to ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. And I'm telling you, it's time for you to shut the door and pour. Pastor Mike, that's lonely. Because nobody's going to clap for me. God says, I'm cheering you on the whole way. I'm on your. Do you remember if God be for you? Who can be a? Do you know who I am? I am the God of the living. Listen, hear me. What God told me the other day is he said, Michael, your plan with me backing it is better than your plan with any man backing it. I'm living witness that what God wants to do in your life, it can't be a public spectacle. You might have to shut the door and pour. This woman shuts the door with her sons. They go out and borrow vessels. And this is the beautiful thing. They borrowed as many vessels as they had faith for. He never told them how many to borrow. So if they only had the faith for three, that's what he filled up. But if they had the faith for 300, that's what he filled up. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? Is I want you to bring God another vessel. It's my last point today. It's time to bring him another vessel. Because some of us have stopped having faith to go and say, God, well, could you really heal my son? I mean, he's been out there doing all kinds of stuff, but could you ever really heal him so he could live the abundant life you called him to? Or Father, could you ever really heal our family? Because we're jacked up. we messed the hell up. Like we are. I don't even look forward to Christmas or Thanksgiving just because we have so much hurt and secrets and dark things and people don't know who their father is. And we don't, come on. But God, should I even have the faith to believe you for this vessel to be filled up? And God, you know, I've always, since I was young, wanted to travel the world, but I've never been on a plane before. I'm 27. And I see Rome and I see Italy, but all I see is Coweta and Tahlequah and Stillwater. No, come on, y'all. I'm talking about real stuff. Should I set the vessel out that I'm going to travel the world and declare? And God says, whatever you have faith to set out is what I can feel. But look at it. Verse 6. Now it came to pass. And I believe that's what God wants you to be able to say as you set your faith out there. One day you're going to be saying, and it came to pass. I even feel by the Spirit, there's somebody that's been trying to have kids. And you've tried every fertilization treatment and you've done all this other stuff. And you just said, okay, well, maybe I'm not supposed to. And I'm just challenging you, set the vessel out again. Yes, sir. Set it out again with a renewed faith that, you know what? If God doesn't, it's okay. But he can't do it if I don't give him the ingredient of faith. See, so many of us are worried about God not doing it. He can't do it if you don't give faith. So I'm going to set my part out there. God, do what you will. I'm going to put my faith on it. Do what you will. So I'm going to put my faith out there. And when the vessels were full, I just think about the story. Like if I was there in the moment and one of the sons, like the little that she had, the nothing but, she probably the first time she had set all the vessels out, didn't even look when she started to pour it out. She probably was like, this is not. Oh God, this is not gonna work, but I'm gonna pour it. What? Y'all, it's full. Okay. No, don't trip yet. Cause that's just one time that God came through. Let's see if he'll do it again. I'm like, God, I started tithing in the wait till I get my money right series, and I'm just going to try it one more time. Y'all, it was so nice he did it twice. And I bet what ended up happening is there was a confidence that began to build on her as she turned over what she had. It wasn't that the oil was growing in the bottle. It just kept coming as she poured it out. And see, a lot of us are trying to see God fill it up so then it makes sense that we pour it out. Fill it up. But it's just as I try it, as I do it, as I tip it over, as I keep serving, y'all better hear me, as I pray, as I give, it just keeps filling it up. And I bet she got confident. She was like, okay. And okay, bring more vessels. Wow. Let's go. I got oil on tap. What you mean? She just kept going because the same God that did it back here is the same. Oh, y'all better help me. That did it here. The same God that got me to college is the same God that's going to bring me through it. Is the same God that's going to pay off this debt. Somebody shout, it's the same God. Your faith better be revived that the same God that got you out of that broken relationship is the same God who's gonna bring you into your purpose. It's the same God. Now look, it's because she shut the door and poured. And she sees a miracle happen. But the saddest thing happens in the sixth verse. She tells her son, bring me another vessel. And her son had to say to her, there is not another vessel. Can I say it another way? We didn't have the faith to prepare for anything else. We stopped setting out our dreams in the book. We stopped setting out our own business in the website. We stopped setting out that our father would be saved and our girlfriend would be changed. And we stopped setting out the vessels. And look what happened. When they found out there was no more vessels, it says, so the oil stopped flowing. It ceased. What does this tell you? If you prepare for God to fill it up, he won't stop pouring and filling them up until you stop having the faith to set them out. At the moment you settle, that's the moment that the vessels will stop being filled. I'm telling you, take the limits off of what God can do through you. You want to see a business come out of you and you're 60 years old, but God has placed something on the inside. Set the vessel out and begin to, you want to go back to school and get your master's degree? Set the vessel, write the vision down, make it plain. You want to work in ministry and be full time in that? Set the vessel out and obey God and shut the door and pour. And what you will see is what I think God's saying to all of us. Just bring me another vessel. Yo, I'm the same God that kept doing it. Oh, you doubt me. Oh, you don't think I'll do it for you. See, people have a problem because, especially church people, they don't have a problem believing that God can. They just have a problem believing that he might do it for them. And today I wanted to come to revive your faith. Bring God another vessel. Bring him your marriage. Bring them your career. Yeah, I know it didn't work last time. But could it have been we didn't really have the faith to believe? But today, if you were here last week, you know you're marked by God. And now you got to put some action. I'm going to bring God another vessel. I'm going to bring in my attitude. You know what? My attitude is bad. Yes, it is. I just had a revelation. I'm mean. Because you got to be self-aware. I am a mean person. Yes, I got it. I am trifling. Okay, I'm going to set out this vessel and ask God to change my character. Fill me with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Come on, set it out. I got to lose some weight. There's some clothes I want to wear. Hey, I felt the Lord. That my midsection does not agree with. But even more than that, God's putting another demand on my voice. And I got to travel. I preached 4 times in 2 days last week. And I was good the whole time. And Monday, it felt like I got hit by a truck. And God said, I only can bless you to what you prepare for. Y'all, I started all kind of stuff this week. I'm doing herbal life, walking. No. Because I won't be the reason that God can't use me. So I set out the vessel. God, I need to be healthy. I need to be able to get off the road preaching 5 times and then have the energy to go to the park with my kids, because I don't want them to be, I don't want to be a public success and a private failure. I got to be, do y'all hear what I'm saying? Set out the vessels. I don't know what it is for you. Set it out. Because Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. It never is about God's ability. Like this woman, it's about our availability. Will you have faith to set out the vessel? Somebody say revive.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.